Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Okay, while we're standing, let me introduce Catherine and Kirsten, our spiritual daughters that have come all the way from L.A., like, wow, all the way from L.A. to be here, and they're at the resource table. They are not, what is it, generic book table chicks? That's what they're not generic book table gals. They are ministers of the gospel. They'll prophesy, release healing, pray over you, and give you words of knowledge that will blow you away. So stop by there, okay? And buy a book, too, while you're there. All right, lift your hands like you're going to heaven, because I think you are. Father, I thank you for this beautiful church. Thank you for Pastors Dan and Teresa and their team, the staff, the ministry heads, the leaders. Thank you. Thank you for those that are studying the greatest book in the Bible, the Song of All Songs. I pray that you'd even whisper in the ears of a few more to join in and dive into that incredible study. I ask, Lord, for this church that you'll multiply it. Let this Sunday be the smallest this church will ever be. And I release over this church apostolic growth, multiplication, young adult revival, awakening on campuses, grammar schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges, junior colleges, universities. Lord, let San Diego be rocked. The thunder of God come into this region. Let the blessing and favor and mercy of God fall upon this church as an epicenter of awakening. And I pray for every family represented. Lord, every mom, the mamas and papas and the boys and girls and children's ministry, and Lord, our grandchildren and some of us older guys, great-grandchildren, bless families, Lord. Let the families of this church be blessed and prosper in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, be seated, guys. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. If you have an iPad or smartphone, open your app and turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I want to share with you from that book of Ephesians. By the way, when you go to passionmovement.com, there'll be a link up on the top, I believe, up on the page. If you want to do a webinar with me, a free webinar that I'm teaching, I think we had 40,000 last time I did this. The second one will be coming up the end of next month, but you can join that free webinar, register for it. We'll send you a link to remind you, and study the book of Ephesians with me. It was the first book in the Bible I memorized. It's one of my favorite New Testament books. It was one of four Paul's prison epistles. How many of you can tell me the four letters Paul wrote in prison? Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Those are the four prison letters of Paul. I want to share with you this teaching today that God is going to use you more than you have a plan to be used. God is going to use you before the year is over. He's going to visit this church with dramatic power. It could just be in the next 90 days. The Lord is about to pour out upon Summit Church and a spiritual awakening anointing. And I know you've been in this outpouring of fire and glory, and I know that you are chasing God like we long for him with all of our hearts, but there's something so much more coming to you. Is that all right? And I want to prepare you for that. I want you to get ready for what God's about to do here. And I don't want you to think that he's only going to use your pastors or the worship cats, the worship team up here. He's going to use you. Tell the person next to you, even if you've never met them and they're strange, and tell them God is going to use you. He's going to use you, bro. That's right. There's nothing is going to hinder God's working in your heart this year. Now, the book of Ephesians starts with this amazing catalog of blessings. And in verse 3 of chapter 1, let me read it to you. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us. Say the word lavished. That's a good word. Has been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because He sees us wrapped into Him. This is why we celebrate Him with all of our hearts. We bless the Lord because He has blessed us. And He has blessed us not stingily, not with just a little miserly, like, here's enough to get through this week, and then come back next Sunday and I'll give you another morsel to get you through another week, you know, kind of multivitamins that wear off. You got to take them the next day. I am going to lavish upon you blessings so intense, so immense, that if I were to give you any more, it would threaten the Trinity. I have blessed you. I have literally poured heaven. I've emptied heaven's riches into the hearts of my people. And this is only verse 3 of chapter 1. I am going to bless you with so many blessings. Matter of fact, I have already blessed you. Know it or not, believe it or not, walk in it or not, I have blessed you right now. Sitting here in this church, you are a literal treasure chest of the glory and riches and blessings of Almighty God. There's nothing that you lack. There's no good thing that He will withhold from those who love Him and walk with Him uprightly. He loves His children, and He's so wealthy. He is so intensely wealthy that He delights to give and give and give and give and give. And all you have to do is receive and receive and let Him be who He really loves to be. And that's a generous, extravagant Father. You've never had a daddy like Him. You've had great parents, I hope. Your scars don't show too badly today. But they've never had a father, never imagined a father that has blessed you with everything heaven contains. And from chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 14, 12 verses, guys. 12 verses in our English Bible, but check it out. It's one sentence in the Greek text. One long sentence that goes 12 verses. Nobody talks this way. You know, there's no punctuation. Paul doesn't even stop to take a breath. It's like a snowball rolling downhill, gaining speed and momentum as he gets to the end of verse 14. There is something so powerful about these 12 verses that you could spend the rest of your life meditating on them, chewing on them today. And I hope you'll spend at least a few more minutes with me today thinking about them. Everybody say it, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, hey, you know what that word blessed really means? It's eulogio in the Greek, and it literally means God has eulogized you. That means God has praised you. God has already praised you with every spiritual blessing. That is crazy. He has blessed you so much, guys. His intention is to pack you so full that when you walk down the street, when you wake up in the morning, your eyelids flutter open, you stumble into the kitchen to make coffee or tea or whatever, juice. That's right, California, juice. And even tired, weary, you know, bloodshot eyes, trying to wake up in the morning, you are so blessed. You can walk into a hospital and people are healed. The day of laying hands on the sick, we're going to keep doing it, but it's going to morph into a new season in this coming awakening. You're going to lay hands on the hospital wall, and everybody is going to get up. Don't say it's somebody else. Oh, well, we got to get Todd White. We got to get... No, no, no. It's you and Almighty God. It's God plus nothing. It's all we need for awakening. Because God is in you of a truth. He has blessed you up one side and down the other, from your nose to your toes, inside and out, right and left, up and down. You carry like Mary, the Christ of glory. Dust and deity have kissed, and here you sit. You are a God-mingled person, a man or a woman with Almighty God living in you. You have been sucked right into the triune glory. Father, Son, and Spirit, and how did you get there? Right into the Trinity itself. You are joined with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17, you are one spirit with him? Is the Father and Jesus the same? Does Jesus say, I and my Father, John 14, we will make our dwelling place with you? So we got Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Espiritu Santo, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, depending on where you're from. But the Trinity has wrapped us inside, guys. And Ephesians goes on to say in verses 13 and 14 that he has given us a down payment, the earnest, the down payment, a pledge of our inheritance. But the Greek is the word arabon. Arabon. You better sit down for this. You'd never guess what arabon means. Engagement ring. The Holy Spirit is the engagement ring of your future inheritance. Wow. He put a ring on it. Wow. He put a ring on it. Wow. You are engaged and betrothed. You are about to be brought into the wedded bliss, a divine union of you and Jesus. Wow. Two are going to be one, and don't let the doctrines of men divide asunder what God has joined together. Wow. He put a ring on it. And I think, oh Lord, if the Holy Spirit, gifts, fruit, wisdom, and power of the Holy Spirit, gifts, fruit, wisdom, and power of the Holy Spirit is but the engagement ring. Wow. Woo! What? I married up. I mean, naturally and spiritually, I married way up. I'm brought right into the glory of heaven. I am the lookalike partner of Jesus Christ, the bride at his side. I'm the perfect match for the Son of God. He went on jharmony.com. My profile popped up, wink, wink, and now I'm one with him. He's chasing you. He's wooing you. He's winning you. He's fascinated with you. He's ravished. Oh, I love that. I got to go to Ireland, Northern Ireland, Belfast, where the revival broke loose. And I got to say it, you have ravished my heart. Oh, they loved it. You've ravished my heart, my equal, my bride. How does it feel to ravish the Son of God? I mean, the unconquerable Christ is conquered by a glance of your worshiping eyes. Your love for him moves his soul. You know, we're in it, most of us, for us and what we get. And that's okay. Kids do that. Children do that. But as we mature, the day will come when it's no longer I, but Christ living in me. And all we want is to be the cup of bliss that he lifts to his lips, that we bless him, that we give to him what he bled to death to purchase, the souls of men and women, his dwelling place, the riches of glory of his inheritance in us. Oh my. So you got an engagement ring. It's Espiritu Santo is your engagement ring. Isn't that awesome? Going to the chapel and we're going to get... Yeah, we got a wedding. We're planning out a wedding. And it's been planned from eternity. And it's Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. It's not good that the Son of Man be alone. And he is bringing into his very being a look-alike, radiant bride, a beautiful partner for him, an equal in every way that will look like him, love like him, minister like him, pray like him, serve like him. Everything about Jesus that you love is in your destiny. It's who you're going to be. You guys okay here today? I mean, I only had a little bit of coffee today. You ought to be glad they didn't give me the full, you know, grande. Jesus, what he's done for you, he's going to use you, folks. Don't say, I am poor. You are rich. Don't say, I am weak. Say, I am strong. Don't say, here am I. Send her. You're going to be the one. You're the one. You're the one that's going to restore your family. You keep praying, and you should pray for restoration of your family. But listen to me. You're going to be the one that restores them. You're going to do it. God's going to so grip you and anoint you, and he's going to wear you like clothing. And you're going to love your family so much more than you ever thought you would. And they're going to come tearfully back to your arms. I'm telling you guys, if you get so full of the irresistible Jesus, you just got the healing your family's longing for, your home needs desperately. God has a plan to make you more loving than you ever thought you'd be. You're the answer to San Diego. You're the answer for dysfunctional family. You're the answer for that messed up workplace you're at. You're the answer for the church scene that's kind of littered with problems and failures, etc. You're the one that's going to shift it and turn it around. Man, you're so underwhelmed here. God is going to grip you in the vice grip of love. A tractor beam of love is going to lay hold of you. Try as you will to cut loose, to get pull away and say, but I want to do my thing. You won't be able to. You're going to be locked and loaded, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Spirit. So full of Him in the coming days. You're going to end this year in a totally different place than you began January 1. And we're only, what, 28 days into the year? Something like that. And the Lord is going to equip you and use you. He's going to finish the work that He's begun in you. He's not going to leave you half done like a pancake cooked on one side and bubbly on the other. He's going to flip you over. Huh. That's actually in the Bible. It's in the book of Hosea, like a cake half turned. God is going to flip you over and cook you good through and through. He's going to finish what He's begun. And I just want to inspire you and take the next couple of minutes and just encourage you that God's going to use you to change the world. So Ephesians goes on in chapter 2, verse 10. It says that we are His workmanship. Some translations, we're His craftsmanship. Some translations say we're His handiwork. One translation gets pretty close to the Greek text and says we're His masterpiece. That's really pretty close. But here is the Greek word. You tell me what it sounds like. You are His poema. You are divine poetry, the lyrics of love on two legs, written from the heart of God, transcribed into your DNA, your very being in the scroll of your life. God has put divine poetry, and it's a comedy, not a tragedy. You are, the lyrics of love are written upon you. You're going to be a word from His mouth that will not be sent from Him void. You're going to return to Him and fully accomplish everything He's put you on earth to accomplish. Wonderful works, good works. The word is beautiful works, preordained, predestined, pre-planned before you were born. He marked out your horizon, the Greek word proorizo. He put the horizon out before you were born and says, this is where you're going to reach. This is where you're going to go with your life. Move your false finish line. Come on, listen to me. Move that false finish line. You're going to live a lot longer than you thought. You're going to do a lot more for the Lord Jesus. You're going to see your kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids get married. Ha! I get to do their weddings, not yours, but all my greats. God's going to re-energize you and strengthen you. I mean, come on, man. You're not even close to the final chapter of your life. You are in the early stages of that poetic expression of what God wants to imprint this earth with. Your life, the Holy of Holies on two legs, walking and talking out of the holy realm of God. You're going to change the city and the world you live in. You guys okay here? In this Anglican church? Well, we need the common book of prayers. We need to become these radical poetic expressions of Jesus. This is why creativity is in you. This is why you're not the norm. This is why you have come out of the box. Why you left status quo, the plateau living. You left that a long time ago. Laodicea is not your mailing address. You're living in the fresh fire of glory and in the living fruit of Holy Spirit. Espiritu Santo, I like that word. You're living and breathing as an expression of God on this earth. Don't tell me He's not going to use you. Don't tell me, well, I don't have the gift somebody else has. You know, when the gifts were passing out, I was standing behind the door. No. Gifts are not merit badges for the elite. They are tools for the lovers of God. And God will gift you. He will anoint you to do the work he's called you to do so that you'll finish with joy your course. You'll run it with joy. You're going to finish that race. And, you know, 80 years from now, with your loved ones by your bedside, weeping as you're smiling, going into the gates of glory with joy, not the cranky old thing. You're going to have such a joy, sweetness of Jesus, the marinating presence, the honey of his love washing over your soul until people you don't even know are attracted to you and want to be next to you and don't know why they're getting torched just being near you. It's because you carry, like Mary, the glory of God. So I was in this Dunkin' Donuts. You guys don't have those here. Oh, do you? You're in? Okay. Don't bring me one. I'm kind of tired of them. But I was in a Dunkin' Donuts. When you live in New England, we pastored 18 years in Connecticut. So when you live up there, that's all I got. So I'm standing in line, long line, early morning, going to church, going to the office. And I just want a cup of coffee. There is a half-demon, half-woman behind the counter at Dunkin' Donuts, like just snarling at every customer. And the people are, you know, in the line, they're being mean back, you know. So it kind of, meanness generates meanness. You notice that in the world? It really does. And the Lord said, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. Should I give her a tip? He said, well, you got it. You say you carry like Mary, right, Brian? I said, yeah. I said, well, then release him. Give birth to something here. So I put my hand on my tummy. I'm the third one back. And then I'm the second one back. And then I'm the very one standing in front of this wonderful woman. And she looks at me and stops and says, what are you doing? I said, I'm praying for you. She starts weeping. My daughter's dying in the hospital. I didn't want to come to work today, but I have to pay the bills. And I turn around and everybody's crying. I said, well, God's going to bless you and your daughter. What's her name? And I forget what her name was, but I prayed for her. Just a short prayer there. I wasn't screaming out. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I wanted her heart. I wanted her to connect with God. And you know, I left without my coffee, but the whole room had changed. You know, you can carry something so powerful. You can affect the atmosphere. Man, there's such anger out there. I mean, I don't care what news, you know, constantly negative news, CNN or what, you know, I don't care what channel you're watching. It's so angry it's not Holy Spirit. And we've got to get the good news, the report of the Lord, you know. Who's going to believe the report of the Lord? We have to get that good news so deep inside of us that when people malign us, people trash us, people put their naughty, nasty little blogs out against me, us, that we love. When you get bumped, whatever you're full of comes out. If you're full of, you know, if a glass is full of water and you bump it, orange juice isn't going to come out of it. And whatever you are full of is what comes out when you're bumped in life. And may it be that we're so full of Holy Spirit that we release something powerful to the angry member of our family that, you know, barged out of the house or at the workplace. Or even, you know, rumor has it, in church, because some of that stuff can even happen. Not here, but it can take place other places, Catholic churches, you know, of course. But to get to the point where we just so, can I use the word, a very unmasculine word, is that right? Sweet. That we become sweet. You know, the Aramaic word for kindness, the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. But that Aramaic word is sweetness. And that was the language of Jesus. So the fruit of the Spirit is that we become honey buckets. I don't know. We become something sweet to other people. And in their sour moments, we can change the atmosphere and sweeten it, not artificially, but we can sweeten it with the joy, the joy of the Lord. 840 times joy is mentioned in the Bible. 840 times joy and rejoicing. 19 times in the book of Philippians. I flip out over that book. I have an online course. You can take it, tptbibleschool.com. I've got a 10, 11-hour course, the 19 reasons for joy out of the book of Philippians. I flip out every time I get into Philippians. And, dude, Paul wrote it in prison. He was in a confinement when he wrote the epistle of joy. Oh, we got to get to this place, guys, where the Lord fills us with His Holy Spirit and uses us for His glory. Yeah, I love the book of Ephesians, but let me just finish today with giving you a true story about a monk named Telemachus. And let this story rock your world. And let it bring you to that convincing place that God is going to use me. I'm going to make a difference, not a dent, in this world. I wasn't born to make a dent. I was born to make a difference. It was the 4th century AD. And a monk named Telemachus, short in stature, he lived in the cloistered isolation of a monastery. He was known for his prayers and his vegetable garden. He was vegan, apparently. And he would care for his vegetables and grow his garden, and he would pray. And year after year, a monk named Telemachus communed with God. Until one day, the Lord spoke to him while he was in his vegetable garden and said, "I have a work for you to do for me in Rome." Unable to shake off the voice of the Lord, though he tried, he decided to leave his vegetable garden and the secluded monastery, and he made his way to the decadent capital of the world, Rome. As he came into the massive city of Rome, he'd never seen a city like this in his life. As a monk named Telemachus came into Rome, he was swept by and by into a crowd of people walking down the street. And they all were going the same direction. So he was forced, to go with them to a massive building he didn't even know existed. It was the Roman Colosseum. And he came into the Colosseum with the thousands of people, and he was shocked as he saw one gladiator after another stand before the emperor and say, "We salute you, O God. We who salute you are prepared to die." And the gladiators locked in mortal combat, the clashing of swords and shields, it was more than he could stand. He couldn't believe that people killed other human beings for sport. He ran down to the ledge that encircled the arena of the Colosseum, and this short monk crawled up to the top and shouted out, "In the name of Christ, forbear. In the name of Christ, stop." No one heard him. No one cared. Finally, he jumped down into the sand of the Colosseum and he's made his way, a monk named Telemachus, out to the middle of the Colosseum and said directly to these men trying to kill the other, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The people in the Colosseum laughed. They thought it was humorous. But he kept doing it. And he kept getting in their way. And one gladiator knocked him with his shield, and he went tumbling, only to come back and say it again, "In the name of Christ, forbear." Someone yelled out in the Colosseum, "Kill him! Run him through!" The one that knocked him with his shield took the tip of his sword, put it on his chest and opened Telemachus up down through his waist. He fell to the sand as it suddenly turned crimson. And his last words, in the name of Christ, forbear. Silence came over the Colosseum till finally a man at the top got up and left. And then another, and then another, and another, and another, until everyone left the Colosseum. And from that day forward, never again did man kill man for entertainment in that place. A monk named Telemachus changed the world. He heard the voice of God, and he did what God told him to do. His motionless body bled to death there on the sand, and the conscience was awakened of thousands of people. God used him, and God's going to use you. Your life is pre-planned and pre-programmed. I was trying to say that both at the same time. Your life is being groomed and prepared. What if your entire existence all is for one thing you're going to do 20 years from now? You see, you cannot fail. You are a word that he sent from his mouth. You existed in God before you were born, because in him we live and move and have our being. And God breathed into you as an embryo. As you squiggled in your mama's womb, he looked at you and rejoiced and said, mine, mine. He made you his by spirit, by breath, by redemption, by faith, by spirit, by blood, you became his. You are a living expression of Almighty God. He is going to use you this year to change the world. Would you stand? Let's be like high school kids at camp. Take the hand of a person next to you, unless they're germaphobe. If they have an issue, just say, hey, I washed my hands yesterday. Okay. All right. Is there love in the house here today? Is there a commitment that you're going to make a difference in the world? Let's speak it out of your lips. There's something when we hear it and then we experience it and then we speak it out. So it's good that an apostle or a prophet decrees over you, but what about you decreeing over you today? So let's say this out loud. I am a word from God's mouth sent to this earth. I will not return to him void. I will accomplish what he has destined me to do. I will fulfill his plan. I will make a difference, not a dent. I carry like Mary the Christ of glory. Every spiritual blessing is now mine. Nothing can stop me. God will use me. I will go where he sends me. I will speak what he gives me. I will do what he tells me to do. For I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Lord, hear this decree we have made over our lives. Seal it to our heart with the seal of fire. And let dreams increase. Let our life, Lord, let the poetry embedded in my DNA, let that poetic spirit come forth to fulfill your plan for my life. Let every breath, every heartbeat, every blinking of my eye, every step of my feet every activity of my being bring you glory. And everybody in this Lutheran church said,
thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.